I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Good morning to you. We're coming on the air with breaking news about former President Donald Trump. Just moments ago, a federal appeals court in Washington, D.C. rejected Mr. Trump's legal claim that the former president is immune from criminal charges for his efforts to overturn the 2020 election results. This all ahead of his criminal trials that are slated to start a little bit later this year, as early as March, perhaps.
He has been really singularly focused on this case, including posting on social media overnight what he believes is the importance of continuing this concept of presidential immunity past the presidency, suggesting that any future president would immediately be indicted after leaving office by the opposing party. He argues in public, to a lesser degree than in his filings before the courts, that a sitting president would be unable to properly function if this ruling had gone against him. Again, that was a post from last night.
That was, again, part of the post that Trump put up as a ruling came down, that a three-member D.C. district court ruled that he is not protected from immunity. This is a win for Jack Smith, who's trying to go after Trump on charges regarding January 6th. And again, Trump's response is basically, this means going forward, you're going to have every president face this. Let me read directly from his statement. If immunity is not granted to a president, every future president who leaves office will be immediately indicted by the opposing party. Now, again, these are charges and allegations. One, they got to be proven, but it's not like he killed someone. If he had something like that go down, you got an entirely different story. But this involves, he's not immune from prosecution for alleged crimes. Actually, CNN wrote it that way. I'm surprised. NBC didn't mention that. They said he's not immune from crimes he committed. They just said it like that, crimes he committed. There was no allegation, no attribution that prosecutors say he committed. And to their credit, I got to give credit when it's due, CNN, and their basic rewrite of the story saying Donald Trump is not immune from prosecution for alleged crimes he committed during his presidency to reverse the 2020 election results. Now, the other part of that story is what happens next. I'll get to that in a moment. Let me set the stage for you. First of all, welcome aboard. Here we are, Feb 6, 2024. This is the second hour of Larry Connors USA. We're on every Monday through Friday night from 6 to 8 p.m. right here for you. And when we're on the air, we're streaming video and audio. Yes, you can look in and watch me do the program. And there are times that I'm over the top, and it's a hoot to watch, even if you have the sound off. But you don't want to have the sound off unless you're listening to it on the radio. I don't care. We want you either way. And I'll remind you that if you miss anything or you want to go back and review it, you can always pull it up later, because every program, video and audio, go up as a podcast at LarryConnorsUSA.com and LarryConnorsUSA Facebook. So if I do something really stupid or bad and way off the mark, I can't hide it. It's there. It's on its, as we used to say in the beginning of when I got into this business, it's on its way to Mars. Can't bring it back. That's why I always encourage you, don't take what I say without questioning it at any point. If I can't stand the heat from some questions and I can't admit when I'm wrong, I shouldn't be here. I have built my career as a news anchor on credibility, and I still hold to that, but I can also now voice an opinion. And if you're new to the show, others will tell you, yeah, he'll give you his view, like it or not. And to some extent, what I say does not make Trump people very happy from time to time. But I don't care if that's the way it is. I'm calling balls and strikes. There are no sacred cows, in my view. Now, the story on the ruling, as I said, the appeals action can start immediately. Apparently, they're setting up a very fast schedule for him to actually get to the Supreme Court, as opposed to going through another jurisdiction first, which he could. These are four counts from the case, including conspiring to defraud the U.S. and to obstruct an official proceeding. That, of course, is referencing the entire January 6th gathering at the Capitol. He wasn't even there, but they're going to blame him for it anyway. And he, of course, has pled not guilty. So they are now setting it up, giving him until Monday to file an emergency stay request with the court. The appeals court giving Trump until Feb 12 to ask for this immunity. So it is a very fast schedule. Well, obviously his attorneys will be working around the clock to make it happen. And when he does so, when he files the emergency stay request with the Supreme Court, that would stop the clock while his attorneys craft a more substantive appeal on the merits, they say. And if successful, the criminal trial will not resume until after the high court decides what to do with his request for a pause. Now, if Trump does not appeal the ruling, the case will go back to the trial-level court in D.C. as soon as next week for his trial to continue. And special counsel Jack Smith, you know he's smiling and beaming, but no comment from his office. I think he sees the writing on the wall. This really isn't going to do anything. It's just more of the same, and the case in Georgia totally fallen apart. Many said that that was going to be a better case, alluding that he was trying to interfere with the Georgia election. But then you got Fannie Willis and her lover wrapped in each other's arms and who knows what else on various cruises using the $600,000 she had directed to him as a special investigative unit for her push to take down Trump. Then, of course, you also had the numerous times they were on White House logs of going to the White House. Who did they speak to, and did they discuss the case at that point involving Trump? So we're going to see where it goes, but it's not going to be decided just today because NBC is saying the special report. He has now been found that he will have to stand trial. Well, not so fast. In fact, the court stated two things. They did sidestep interpreting presidential immunity as it pertains to criminal prosecution. That's because the Supreme Court has repeatedly upheld broad immunity from civil suits, but no established immunity from criminal prosecution. And the judges wrote, for the purpose of this criminal case, the one Jack Smith is pushing against him, former President Trump has become Citizen Trump with all the defenses of any other criminal defendant. But any executive immunity that may have protected him while he served as president no longer protects him against this prosecution. And the court added that Trump now bears the burden of establishing the case for his immunity. He advanced the arguments based on jurisdiction, first of all. Why should it be in the D.C. court like that? Functional policy considerations related to separation of powers, the impeachment clause. The judges rejected all three of those. I don't think Trump and his team were surprised that it came down that way. Not when you're in a D.C. court. Just not likely to be considered anywhere else. I don't care if they were all appointed by Republicans. I think at least two were Democrat, but I really don't care. I mean, if they're going by the law, but they are like many, so many others, have such a hate for Trump and want to dismantle him. All right, now turning our attention to the Far East and our efforts to try to get the Houthis restrained and back off. We've been firing back into some of their positions, sometimes notifying them in advance that we're going to do it, which is the most stupid thing I've ever heard of, but gives them a chance to move things around. And the response and the what we're really accomplishing, I want to let you hear the opinion of a former security advisor under G.W. Bush as to we're really just using my terminology, swatting at flies.
Iran and its proxies are in no way deterred, and it really seems like we're fighting the enemy on their terms. The Iranians are targeting these outposts we have in Syria, some of which left over from the 2010s when we had to go back to fight ISIS, instead of fighting them where we have natural strains. For example, putting tougher or just enforcing the sanctions we already have on them on energy production and export, or playing to our advantage in aviation and with our naval power, but instead, I mean, bombing two unmanned boats, basically, that the Houthi have, and expecting that to change their conduct. Iran has passed some meridian in time, some decision point. They've decided to take the fight to us, and we in no way have really made the decision to do what needs to be done to deter that, to change that.
Yeah, and I don't see it happening anytime soon. Again, that is Chris Whittem, Christensen Whittem, former G.W. Bush senior advisor. And he also added something else. We have a fear about Iran having nuclear weapons. Fred Fleitz, who's been on with us numerous times before, 25 years in intel, an Iranian specialist, he said they are just below the grade of enriched uranium for a nuclear weapon. Whittem believes that basically they may already have one on layaway, but the issue is, do they have the will to actually use it?
Essentially, the Iranians already have a nuke on layaway. They just need to connect all the dots. What we can do is go back to President Trump's maximum pressure campaign, starting with preventing them, stopping them from exporting oil and selling cheap oil to China, which is filling their coffers. If you look, what's the difference between 2021 January when Trump left office and now? Iran has enriched itself. It's really gained the confidence to go to war with Israel, to take Americans, not just Israelis, Americans being held hostage and killed by Iranian proxies, and literally fighting us throughout the Middle East, in Syria, Iraq, and in the Red Sea. So just the president also needs to look the American people in the eye and explain the strategy, why we're there, what we're doing, and how we're going to get ahead, aside from just, you know, blowing up a few old Boston Whalers that don't have people on them.
Yeah, I look forward to the day when he actually would do that. You know, James Carafano is retired lieutenant colonel for the military with the Heritage Foundation, and he was raised facing a question that gives another viewpoint.
Why did the Biden administration wait a week and telegraph to the world, including to Iran, how it was going to hit back at Iran proxies after three U.S. soldiers were killed in that drone bombing in Jordan by Iranian-backed militants? What do you think?
Yeah, I can only tell you why they did it. I can tell you why it's a problem. And it's something we've talked about on your show before. You have to remember that these are all exactly the same people that did foreign policy in the Obama administration, including the vice president. So they have a playbook which they continue to use, and which, if you're an adversary, you know exactly what these guys are going to do. And the number one thing in the Obama playbook is they're worried about escalation. They don't want to do foreign policy. They don't want to get engaged. They want it to go away. And they think the answer to that is to do as little as possible. And then, you know, show your adversary, look, I'm not really a mean guy. If you leave me alone, I'll leave you alone.
Yeah, they're not going to do that. That playbook is stupid. He says Iran is outplaying us on it anyway. The border bill is still facing more challenges, and I'm glad, because that means Speaker Schumer is mad. Now, I don't mean mad as in a foaming mouth dog. Well, maybe I do. I really mean the word, proper word, would be he's angry. Still think he's mad. But beyond that, he is angry, and leftists are trying to blame the whole failure of this border bill, if it doesn't go through, on Donald Trump.
Is Donald Trump calling the shots here, Mr. Speaker?
Of course not. He's not calling the shots. I am calling the shots for the House. That's our responsibility. And I have been saying this far longer than President Trump has. I have been saying what the requirements are to fix the problem. I don't care if they call the legislation H.R. 2 or not. What we're saying is you have to stem the flow. The president has executive authority right now. As Congress does this negotiation and the debate and discussion, the president could stop it. Section 212F of the Immigration and Nationality Act, the Supreme Court has already acknowledged, gives the president broad executive authority.
He could
close the border literally overnight.
He could. He's got his own authority to do that. Now, Chuck Schumer had said last weekend, I plan to put it on the floor of the Senate and we'll move it through Wednesday. Well, this morning, the Republican whip, John Thune in South Dakota, said, I don't think we're ready to proceed. Unlikely we're ready to do that. And Schumer is now saying, you know what, we may back it off until maybe Thursday instead of Wednesday. That would be tomorrow. And not why? Because they're seeing more collapse even among those who were going to support it, not just in Republicans, but among Democrats, because they got to go back and explain it to their constituency. But if they were looking for a glowing ray of sunshine that should lift everyone's spirits, here she is.
Hello, I'm Karine Jean-Pierre, the White House press secretary, and greetings from Las Vegas. I'm traveling with the president today. Normally, I would wait until we get to Washington to film a video like this, but yesterday, after months of negotiations, the Senate announced a historic bipartisan deal to address our pressing national security priorities. That includes the toughest and fairest set of border reforms in decades. For decades, the immigration system has been broken. This bipartisan bill will make our country safer, make our border more secure, treat people fairly and humanely, while preserving legal immigration and staying consistent with our values as a nation.
What are our values as a nation, KJP? Do you have any idea? Well, NBC had their law enforcement analyst on with them, and he was talking about this group of illegals who attacked New York City police officers. That might have broken the straw for many in the sense that touching our New York City cops like that, and all of them were picked up, taken to jail, and immediately turned loose. Just let go. Some have now fled the state, going to California somewhere, some back down to Florida. But this law enforcement analyst on the set with NBC makes a statement that just almost shocks them in the sense that, oh my God, you can't say that on our network.
There is this one percenter, you know, criminal element that looks at a different opportunity here. These individuals, I went over their rap sheets yesterday, multiple charges, grand larceny, robbery, attempted robbery, grand larceny. This particular crew operated on mopeds and scooters. They were doing organized retail theft. They were doing snatches on the street, iPhones, iPads, clothing, so on and so forth. One of them that they are still seeking has 10 charges on one day because he's part of a pattern that's been going on. And I'm looking at the dates that their arrest started, which is probably close to when they got here. They've only been here a couple of months. So what the detectives are telling me is they have crews here that operate in New York, do all their stealing, then go to Florida to spend the money, and then come back. And I'm like, well, why don't they just stay and steal in Florida? And they said, because there you go to jail.
They go to jail in Florida. Well, once again, the shining face of KJP telling you, we got to have the border bill.
We can't keep kicking the can down the road when it comes to addressing immigration and border. For far too long, people in Washington have talked about the issue, but not done anything to fix the issue. This bipartisan bill changes that. That is why the president and his team worked so hard with the Senate to get it done. The last thing we need is more political games. We need solutions, and that is what we have now. So we hope Congress will pass this bill without delay, because the president is eager and ready to sign this bill into law and take action on these vital national security issues.
I have a question for KJP. Have you left your front door and garage open so if any illegals need housing, they can walk in, roam about your house, take what they want? When you leftists start doing that, then I'll believe you accept an open border, because that would be an open house. Coming up, dealing with the Mideast in a different way, lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Question, do you know what vermiculite is? It is an insulation in the attics of hundreds of thousands of homes and public buildings. Looks like kitty litter, but often contains asbestos. Wellington Environmental is the largest company in the Midwest that can remove that hazard for you. Wellington has what is called the General, a powerful industrial vacuum that can suck vermiculite out of the attic. Hang on, there's something else you should know. Many of you might qualify for up to a $4,000 rebate. You should at least contact Wellington to see if you qualify. And here's something else. Wellington arrives at the time they give you, not sometime within 4 hours. 314-644-4930. 844-493-0. WellingtonSTL.com. WellingtonSTL.com. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner. Better. Safer. Be well with Wellington.
Talk radio made in St. Louis.
Very excited for what you guys are doing for the St. Louis community.
For St. Louis.
Relevant local talk.
Saying what we are thinking.
This is News Talk STL.
You guys are awesome. I love you. And it really, it's a tremendous honor to be on the station.
News, analysis, and opinion.
Thanks for covering the local and global.
People, this is America.
We better open our eyes.
Really local? Really good.
News Talk STL at 101.9, 94.1, and News Talk STL.
Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield has some great events coming up this month. Here's one to mark on your calendar. Feb 15, Scott Biancardi from STL Cigars will be hand-rolling smokes right there in front of you. Feb 15, plus Stolock whiskey tasting, all happening at Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield. I'm often in for a smoke. If I'm there, make a point to introduce yourself. And for more events, follow Lit Cigar Lounge Facebook.
Hey, St. Louis, my name is Rob Carter. My new primetime show will explore the collaboration between corrupt media and our corrupted political system. From manipulated elections, open borders, mandated medicines, and unconstitutional lockdowns, what is going on?
The Rob Carter Show.
Let's talk about it on The Rob Carter Show. Join me weeknights from 8 to 10 p.m. on News Talk STL.
Rob Carter, live and local, weeknights at 8 on News Talk STL. This is News Talk STL.
Well, you can tell by the way I use my walk, I'm a woman's man. No time to talk. Music loud, women walk, been kicked around since I was born. Have a fun ride, have a head. And you may look the other way, but we can try. Woman's man, and do your time, I'm a man.
When you're another away,
this is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Welcome back. My guest has several different ways we can look at the Middle East. And let me begin by telling you, this is a pastor, Pastor Mark Biltz. He's also a best-selling author. Latest book, America at War, 2024 through 2026. The Sons of Light versus the Sons of Darkness. And glad to have you on board, sir.
Well, thank you so much, Larry. I really appreciate you having me on.
Well, I was looking forward to this, and there are a lot of things I want to go through with you. And let me add to the audience that you are the Washington State Director of Christians United for Israel. Now,
go ahead.
Go ahead. Tell me what that is exactly.
Yes, I was for about 8 years, but I just stepped down.
Oh, okay. I did not see that. Thank you. And what exactly is Christians United for Israel? I could assume, but I'd rather you tell me.
Well, John Hagee started that. And basically, it's trying to get pastors and people all the United States to support Israel.
All right. Sounds like a good idea. I had Jewish member who had become Christian at our church, and I know several others who have as well. And the Christian religion is, of course, built upon the Jewish heritage and religion, the Old Testament. It's just a matter of was Jesus actually a man? Did he walk the earth? And then, of course, everything that goes with it and the resurrection. But I want to, before I get into some of the details, I want from you as to your view on how we're dealing with Israel, Gaza, and everything else right now. I need to bring up for the audience, because they may know you by this way as well. You began writing about something called the Blood Moon in 2008, and you're also known as a Blood Moon's pastor, or the Blood Moon Biltz. It's not Blitz, but Biltz.
And
you,
exactly.
And you have theories that correlate solar and lunar eclipses with biblical prophecy. I'd like to spend a few moments on that, sir.
Man, I would love to. Thank you so much. Because what had happened back in 2008, I saw that there were four total lunar eclipses in a row coming up in 2014, 2015. And I use math, science, the Bible, and that's all I stick to. And if you look at statistics, NASA records 5,000 years of eclipses, okay? And of those 5,000 years, from 2000 BC to 3000 AD, there have been about 12,000 lunar eclipses.
Before we go any deeper, how would they be able to record those that far back? NASA didn't even exist. This nation didn't exist.
It's math. It's all math so and science. They can predict they're going to happen 1,000 years from now.
All right, so it's a predication based on estimation.
Yeah, it's
I want to make that clear. It's not an actual fact. It's based upon assumption.
Based on mathematical patterns, I would say.
Okay.
But what's amazing about that, you only get one total lunar eclipse every year and a half based on the averages of 5,000 years. If you only get one every year and a half, and here we have four in a year and a half, that tells me something is going on. In Genesis 1:14, God said he created the sun and the moon for signs. Doesn't say light or heat. It says signs, which means an eclipse. So when I looked that these four, when they were falling, then I looked on the biblical calendar. They fell on Passover and Sukkot or Tabernacles, Passover and Sukkot. And I thought, oh my goodness, this is a sign from heaven because they're falling on the appointed time. So I looked to see when the last time it was that it happened. And it was in 67, 68 when they recaptured Jerusalem. The time before that was 48, 49 when they became a nation. The time before that was 1492 when hell got kicked out of Spain. So I'm thinking, oh my gosh. And I didn't know what its meaning was, but I wrote my book showing the scientific pattern and that everybody was writing books about it. And some things they say nothing happened in 2015, but I tell you what, I now know exactly the meaning, which is mind-blowing. I'll have to take a moment because your listeners may not be familiar with this. But on Yom Kippur is the only day you can proclaim a year of Jubilee, which is a 50-year time frame. Well, guess what? The Yom Kippur War started on Yom Kippur in 1973, which was the very first day of the Jubilee cycle. And then in 50 years later is 2023, and the Iron Swords War happened on the very last day of the Jubilee cycle. And so the 2014-2015 Blood Moons was warning of a war coming 7 years later, and the 1967-68 war was also a sign of the war happening on the first day of the Jubilee cycle.
All right, well, let me ask this. For some folks, first of all, those who are not familiar with the Bible, and if you're not Jewish, you may not be that familiar with Passover. If you're Christian, you should. Yes, that night of the Passover that the Lord was passing over, and if you did not mark your door with a lamb's blood, then the inhabitants would die and the children and so forth. And it was apparently a dark. And we've had reports like even on Jesus on the cross, when the curtain was ripped and he died, and the massive darkness fell upon the face of the earth. So I think at that time, maybe they weren't aware of eclipses and how they figured. I'm not sure. But the other thing that comes into this, when someone listens to this and puts a more critical eye to it, they're saying, you know, it's like reading your horoscope today, and then you're looking for something the rest of the day that's going to verify it, or you read it at the end of the day, and you look back and say, well, how would that have fit if I tried to put the pieces together? How many could say and make that complaint against you?
No problem at all. There's a huge difference between astrology and biblical astronomy. Astrology means it's all about you. Biblical astronomy means it's all about God, where it says in Psalms 19, the heavens are declaring the glory of God. And in Genesis 1:14, he created the sun and the moon for signs. I want absolutely nothing to do with astrology, but God said he created the sun and the moon for signs, and the heavens declare him, so we have to have the proper perspective. As a matter of fact, when it comes to solar eclipses, since we became a nation in 1776, we have only had 8 total solar eclipses over the United States, and they happened during the Revolutionary War, the Civil War, the Vietnam War, and now we have them coming April 8th with the Great American Eclipse.
All right. Well, I mean, you can't dispute the dates they happen. It's just a matter of coincidence or preordained or
exactly, or
fitting with the Bible. And I'm in the maybe fourth or fifth reading all the way through. I'm just finished Job again back in the Psalms. There's some beautiful poetic writing. But let's look at the current situation here with the Middle East. Qatar is playing a role supposedly in helping negotiate and bring an end to the war and maybe free the prisoners. Do you consider Qatar being an honest broker?
Absolutely not. They're one of the worst brokers. They support Hamas. Do you know they've given billions of dollars to Cornell University, billions of dollars to a dozen universities, and it's at those universities where they're protesting the worst, all being pro-Palestinian. No, Qatar is one of the worst brokers. They're totally pro-Hamas, and I don't trust them at all.
Is a two-state solution possible for Israel? I mean, we've been
Absolutely
close a couple
not.
Of times. You say no way. Why? Because
it's
of the inherent hate or what?
Yes, it's because, you know, Amalek,
yes.
Which is like Haman. But did you know the very word Amalek in Hebrew means head choppers? They chop up people who chop up body parts. And that's exactly what happened. And in Genesis, God said he's going to destroy the world because of violence. And the Hebrew word for violence is Hamas. And even the Palestinians come from the word Philistines, which means invaders. But as far as the two-state solution goes, in Joel 3:2, God said he's going to come against every nation that's trying to part his land. And in Zechariah 1:18, there are four horns that God said he's going to terrorize these four horns because they're trying to divide the land of Israel. Well, I believe those four horns are the quartet that started at the Madrid conference. 2002, it's the EU, the UN, the US, and Russia. But plainly, if you follow the Bible, you'll see that terrorism is going to be coming big time.
Yeah, well, that
around the world.
That we all fear. Now, a couple other things along this line, and again, you're listening to the Pastor Mark Biltz, author of the book America at War 2024, 2026, and others. You're suggesting, I understand, that Donald Trump says our immigration problem is a Trojan horse. What are the true implications of our open borders? Because we were discussing that extensively before you joined us.
Wow. Okay. Well, great. Well, I think in one sense, Trump is wrong that it's a Trojan horse because they're not hiding trying
to get
in.
No, they're not hiding. You're right.
We're welcoming them in. We're paying them.
Yes.
We're giving them free money. We're giving them medical insurance. It's the most insane thing in the world.
So will that lead to a terrorist attack on the U.S. soil? Or are you looking at the Bible for an answer on that?
I tell you what. I believe, without a doubt, we're going to see terrorist attacks in the homeland this year. People will be blowing themselves up in grocery stores, at gas stations, on bridges. But see, along with that, Larry, we're going to be having civil war.
Yeah, now there's where I was headed next. I was asked this question. We've only got about a minute to go. Maybe three years ago, I had a caller when I was taking a call and said, do you think we're going to have a civil war? And I said, no, we're not going to have a civil war. Well, I have to admit, things have gotten shaky now that there is a concern.
Well, you're going to have the political war this fall with the elections between the left and the right. You're also going to have a religious war between those who are pro-Israel and pro-Palestinian. You're also going to have racial wars between the white supremacists and the Black Lives Matter. We're ripe for war, and that's when you get attacked.
Well, one final thing from you in the last 30 seconds on the Great American Eclipse. What should it be considered?
Well, the Great American Eclipse, I believe, is a sign from God because it intersects the 1-7 years ago in a place called Little Egypt. And it happened on the very same day as the 3 days of darkness in the original plague began.
And that's April what, 8th?
8th. April 8th.
Well, you know we're going to have you back right before and then after that as well.
I'd love it.
All right, I appreciate it again. Pastor Mark Biltz, again, his book is America at War 2024-2026. That is just the latest. Coming up, speaking about war and what we're doing and what we're not doing, we're not going to get a clear answer from the White House on one hand, and that I agree with. But also, what can we be told they're not telling us? That's just one of the items that we'll be coming to in the next segment. You don't want to go anywhere. You cannot get out and leave now.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
I'm always glad to have new sponsors, but I have turned some down. See, I only endorse clients if I believe in them. And I've been a spokesman for John Beal for 10 years. Through those years, listeners said they went with John Beal because they trusted me. And just recently, a woman named Mary wrote, "We got a John Beal roof based on your recommendation." Thank you, Mary. and all the others for calling John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Sometimes you want to do something extra special for someone. Vincent's Jewelers can help you. Maybe you want to do something for yourself. Mark a date, something you accomplished. It doesn't have to be anything really expensive, but it has to mean something now and for the future. Vincent's, locally owned, just asked for the chance to work with you, as they have with me, on Olive, just east of 270. Every day, new specials at vincentsjewelers.com or Vincent's Facebook.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
One of the five most traumatic experiences in life is moving. I can assure you that McGuire Moving can help ease that pressure. Moving into a new home or a new business, locally, internationally, McGuire is rated number one. More than 80 years of experience. Free estimate, call McGuire, 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuireMoving.com.
This is News Talk STL.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So it appears that more and more throughout this day, as you have seen now at the end of the day, this Schumer-Biden push through on a border bill with some money obviously needed for Israel being held up as well, but trying to get all the money they can to Ukraine and then give some money for our border, but not really, and at the same time supposedly declare, well, we're going to have emergency declaration if we need it. You already got it. You have the power to do it. But this administration doesn't want to do it. They'd rather turn around and blame Donald Trump for chaos at the border, even saying that Donald Trump wants chaos at the border. If he'd want chaos at the border, he would have never put Remain in Mexico policy. Oh, I see how they're playing the game. Of course we do. Because he's not in charge right now. He's saying, you put me back in charge, I will bring order. But every member of the Senate, a third of the Senate, is up for re-election. And every member of the House is up for re-election. Can they really go back to their constituents, especially if they're Democrat, and say, yeah, I voted for that border bill that was going to give $90 billion in foreign aid, $62 billion to Ukraine, $15 billion to Israel, $10 billion Ukraine, Gaza, humanitarian aid, $5 billion for partners in the Indo-Pacific, and still not really secure our border. Oh, no, there would be money that might also go for more Border Patrol agents, things of this nature, but not really to shut the border down. If you don't want people coming, you say it is closed. No more. No more. There are still caravans gathering all the way down to South America, much less across the world, to get to Mexico and then come on across the border before it is closed. And I will tell you this, in the closing months of this year, especially if Trump should win, they will be rushing. You thought we've seen a rush already? They will far exceed anything, because they thought, boy, if he gets back in, it will be closed. And again, we're not really properly vetting these people. We have no idea who's coming in. We don't know their history. We don't know what they've done. We don't know what their plans are. Are some coming just for a better life for them and their family? Yes. Just like the original immigrants coming to this nation. But the original immigrants either escaping from communist rule or dictatorship or just poverty came here to have a better life and the freedoms we have here. I wish more people would get down on their knees and thank God that we have this nation. In the Bible, it says a land of milk and honey is what he was promising Moses, but Moses was never going to get to see it. We have a land of milk and honey, and our milk and honey is our independence, our freedoms, our liberty, and our Constitution, when it's correctly followed. The insight of our forefathers in writing the Constitution and what they were able to put in there and realize that this might be a problem down the road, we should resolve it here and now, was pretty darn amazing. I'd almost say it was a prophecy to them as to how best to go about it. Now, of course, there were problems in the beginning, because if you're saying everyone has inalienable rights, then why would you treat people of a different color, religion, lesser than you? So a lot of it also falls upon human decision-making and frailty and ego and things that drive people to do things that you look at them and say, why would you do that? Why do you want that? These illegals in New York City the other day, when they attacked those police officers, that sparked a big blowback against anyone who thinks it's okay to defund police and basically label them as thugs or Nazis, whatever the term they were trying to use and continue to use. And even Governor Hochul of New York had to make a response. And she said, you don't touch our police. You don't touch our officers ever. She made that response after those had been collected, quote, arrested, and then set free immediately. If you're not going to have a justice system, the guest in the preceding segment, Pastor Biltz, we will have a civil war and we will have uncontrolled anarchy. Well, can you have a controlled anarchy? Yeah, I guess you could. But by uncontrolled, I mean everything is on the table. I'd mentioned to some of you a while back, I don't know if you're taking time to watch it, and if you choose not to, I'm not trying to push it. It is one of the movies produced under the umbrella of the Obamas for Netflix. But it's not pushing wokeism. It's pushing a look at reality. When things go bad for the nation, what do the people do? It is called Leave the World Behind. Leave the World Behind. I got interested in it only because I saw Julia Roberts was in it. Well, like most of us, not counting me, she's aged, but she's still beautiful my way. But it was a look at a family that simply went to the beach for a good weekend getaway from New York City and enjoy life away from people and everything else. And the timing turned out to be perfect for them on one hand and not so perfect in another way. I'm not going to give it away. You can take a look at it, but it's basically when anarchy comes to your door, that's almost the basic premise of this movie. But we continue to battle over this border bill that we know is not intended to really do anything. They throw the words out there from the Chuck Schumer, this, we need this emergency authorization. I'm even looking at a quote from a Republican. Let me go back to this quote. This is pretty interesting because this was Senator Mike Lee of Utah. He's now saying it's increasingly likely the border bill will not even make it through the first vote. And he said the measure is, quote, smoke and mirrors at best, and, quote, inviting more illegal immigration at worst. And then he added, I'm very confused by what they are, by why they thought it was a good thing to put this border emergency authority in there. That's part of the detail of the bill, a border emergency authority. He said, because right at first it sounds like, and it was sold as, a good thing. It was sold as something that would sort of replicate Title 42, but without any requirement of a public health issue like a pandemic. So he said again, I mean, if you have this emergency authority, well, that'd be a good idea. Until you really look at it, and as he said again, it's actually smoke and mirrors. And reminding you again, this president already has the authority to shut the border at any point. He doesn't have to go to Congress. He simply gives the order, and DH Secretary Mayorkas carries it out, just as he's been carrying out, leave the border open. I keep insisting those who are all in favor of doing this, open the damn door to your house and your garage and leave it open for days and nights on end. Congresswoman Cori Bush, why don't you be among the first? You've already got your own private security. Let them. Oh, you're not going to be killing illegals coming into your house, are you? My boots on the ground correspondent Chicago raised questions. He said, what if we talked Ukraine, and part of this deal is we talked to thing to Ukraine, said, how about this? You guys allow 5,000 Russians into your country every day. That will be part of the deal to bring peace. You think they'd go for that? Of course not. But that's what this bill does. It allows 4,000, the grant, this bill giving the president and DHS authority to shut down the border in the bill being proposed, which he already has the authority. He could shut it down if encounters reach 4,000 over a seven-day period. Let's take the rest of this week. And by Monday or Tuesday, I guarantee you we've already hit 4,000. I don't mean just at one border point. We're talking about the entire southern border. Well, under this bill, it would be a voluntary shutdown. The government, the president, and DHS could make a decision. We could or could not shut down the border. But if it's 5,000 coming in over a seven-day period, and you know the numbers are significantly higher as I speak, but over a seven-day period, 5,000, then you'd have to mandatorily shut it down. 5,000 over the month of December. Let's make it an even number, 30 days, 150,000. We had 300,000 come across in the month of December that we know of. And then they also make it mandatory. The president would have to shut down the border if we had 8,500 in any one day. We're exceeding that again. But they think if we write it out this way, and Senator Lee was saying, it looks like they're trying to actually resolve and shut the border down, but when you look at it closer, no, they're not. Conference Chair John Barrasso, a Republican of Wyoming, is saying, now, I'm a no vote. It does not meet our standards, our American standards of securing our border now. And he concludes that Americans will turn to the 2024 presidential election to end the crisis. And that is what worries Joe Biden and the left so much. His numbers among Hispanics are down so much that he and Trump have about the same number, which is unheard of. And he's losing his numbers compared for black votes compared to last time. They're down almost 60% from the previous time. And it's not a matter of race. It's a matter of you know what's best for your country and your family. And, of course, then when you look at all the victims, not only the fentanyl, but the children being trafficked on a constant basis, you're not going to solve it until you shut the border down. Even Mayorkas admitted there's a pull factor. Folks think they can get here and get in, and they're going to keep coming. Well, then take away the pull factor. Put a stop factor to it. Is that so hard? It is for this administration. And here's the other thing. Gas prices, I noticed the other day, they began to slip down again a little bit. Joe's got to find a way to make your life easier before the November election. Do not buy into that idea any more than this border bill. And then back to dealing with Iran directly and what's happening in the Middle East. Jake Sullivan, the national security advisor for the president, was asked one of those questions, which I don't really want a full answer from him, but let the question begin.
Have you ruled out strikes inside Iran?
Well, sitting here today on a national news program, I'm not going to get into what we've ruled in and ruled out from the point of view of military action.
But is it off the table? Are strikes inside Iran off the table?
Again, Kristen, sitting here on television, it would not be wise for me to talk about what we're ruling in and ruling out.
Inside Iran, would you rule that out at this point?
Look, sitting on a national TV program, I'm not going to rule in and rule out any activity anywhere.
Now, that last one was with CNN and NN being asked the same question again. And his answer is, again, I'm not going to rule it out. I'm not going to say one way or the other, and nor should he. But what we need to do is make it clear to Iran, and we do not have to fire another shot. If we simply put an embargo in place again and no oil ships leave Iran and go anywhere, they start losing their money. Now, it'll take a while for them to drain back down again, but they will. But Biden's afraid if he does that, well, then the worldwide prices of oil might go up and your gas prices go up. So maybe that's why he is not talking about that elephant in the room. I do not want to have a blockade of the Iranian oil going to China and Russia, because then the world oil price would go up again and folks at the pump would have to pay more, just as we're going into the election. That's not thinking about the American people. That's thinking about political survival. And, of course, Tucker Carlson's getting a lot of heat because he is doing an interview with Putin. He is now confirming that he is going to have an interview. He is going to be publishing in the near future. This will be the first time a member of the Western media will interview Putin since the 2022 invasion. And the leftist media is going absolutely crazy. He's a Putin lover, and he's over there. He's a MAGA person, just like Trump. And all the Russians were only involved in helping Hillary Clinton when you got down to it. Carlson posted on his video on Twitter, "We are not encouraging you to agree with what Putin may say in this interview, but we're urging you to watch it. You should know as much as you can. And then, like a free citizen and not a slave, you decide for yourself." But see, the leftist media doesn't even like the fact that he's over there. That is wrong. That's treasonous. Carlson has been for years critical of our involvement in Ukraine. And he said he has also requested an interview with the Ukrainian President Zelensky. Doesn't say here that he's got that set up yet. But he does plan on doing the interview with Putin and will release it at some other point. And the Russian TV media is going crazy with it, showing him walking around, and apparently they made a point that he had his phone with him and plugged it in for charger and everything. Well, what they are telling you, see, he's got a phone out there. They're going to be tapping into his phone and getting information. We know they will. China will. We all know that. I don't know if he's using a burner phone or what. They're concerned about Tucker Carlson and his phone. They had no concern about Hillary Clinton on a private server she should not have had. Remember our pledge. Rob Carter coming up, but our pledge, one nation under God.